today's episode, you will finally get the Pride checklist that will make your life so much easier this June.
Welcome to More Human, More Kind, the podcast for parents of LGBTQ+ kids and anyone trying to stay human in a world that keeps hardening. I'm Heather Hester, and here we talk about fear, belonging, boundaries, courage, love, and what it means to protect what matters without losing yourself in the process. Your child doesn't just need a parent who's informed. They need a parent who is grounded and strong. Let's take a breath and let's begin.
Welcome to More Human, More Kind. I'm Heather Hester. This is the quintessential Pride Guide episode. In it, I am going to break down checklists by age groups that will remove all of the guessing, just 100% practical, like screenshot it, save it, send it to another parent practical. Pride events can be joyful, meaningful, and deeply affirming. And they can also be hot and crowded and emotional and overstimulating, expensive, exhausting, chaotic, and a little unpredictable. So today I want to help you think through your pride planning in a way that feels grounded instead of overwhelming. We're going to walk through three pride checklists, one for preteens, one for teens, and one for young adults. Support needs change as our kids grow, and so should our preparation. So today's episode will help you think through practical pride preparation without slipping into fear or control. It will help you support your child in age-appropriate ways before, during, and after events, and it will create pride experiences that feel meaningful, safe, and actually enjoyable for your family. The goal is not, nor should it ever be, perfection. The goal is helping our kids feel connected, considered, and supported. Each age group will include two checklists. One is how to prepare and what to bring, and the other is a list of age-appropriate activities. So we'll start with the preteens. This age group is often more emotionally affected by big events than adults realize. There's all of the excitement, their curiosity, and just their high energy level. And because of all of that, there's sensory overload, emotional fatigue, and just complete unpredictability. So for preteens, preparation is really about creating structure and emotional safety. So here are a few things I'd encourage parents to think through ahead of time. Wearing comfortable shoes wherever you go. There's always way more walking than you think there's going to be. Bringing water bottles with you. There's almost always places where you can refill them. Pack snacks, sunscreen, hats, cooling towels, or portable fans when it's hot. Create a quiet break plan ahead of time. Make sure that everybody in your group has emergency contact information. Once you get there, create a designated meeting spot where everyone can meet if separated. Make sure everyone has a fully charged phone with important numbers programmed or written phone numbers in their pockets. Have a conversation ahead of time about safe adults and come up with a code word or a signal for them to use if they are feeling overwhelmed. I really love helping younger kids understand ahead of time that they never have to stay somewhere just because everyone else is having fun. That really, really matters. Some kids will hit a wall emotionally or physically before they know how to explain it or express it. Giving them permission to say, "I need a break," helps build self-trust. And Pride celebration for this age group doesn't have to be huge to be meaningful. Honestly, some of the sweetest Pride moments happen in really ordinary ways. So here is your preteen activity checklist. Decorating cupcakes together. Sidewalk chalk art. Making friendship bracelets. Reading affirming books together. Watching LGBTQ+ inclusive movies. Going to a smaller family Pride event. Creating a playlist in the car. Or letting your child pick out one thing that helps them feel seen. Sometimes we think Pride has to look big to count, and it just doesn't. Teen Pride conversations usually need a little more collaboration and a lot less management. This is where things can get emotionally nuanced really fast because teenagers are often navigating identity, visibility, peer dynamics, independence, social media, and safety all at the same time. So instead of saying to them, here's what you need to do, try, can we think through a few things together before you go? So here is your teen pride checklist for prep ahead of time. On this list should be a portable charger, a transportation plan, emergency cash or backup payment option, location sharing as long as everyone agrees to it, a buddy system, a check-in plan, boundaries around posting photos online, a backup meeting location, comfortable clothing and shoes, keeping hydrated and fed. It is extremely important to have conversations around consent, as well as exit strategies if something feels off. And parents, try not to make these safety conversations feel like suspicion. Your space says something before you ever do. Whether it's an office, retail space, commercial property, or national rebranding work, the quality of your environment reflects your brand. At Hester Commercial Painting, we deliver professional, high-quality results with minimal disruption to your business. On time, on budget, done right. Hester Commercial Painting, craftsmanship at work. To schedule a consultation, go to go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK. That's go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK. There is a huge difference between I don't trust you and I want you to feel prepared. Teenagers can feel that difference immediately. I also think that social media conversations are especially important right now. Some teens are fully out everywhere and others are not. Some may want photos posted publicly. Others may feel anxious about being tagged, recorded, or identified. Please do not assume. Ask, always ask. What are you comfortable sharing online? Do you want me posting pictures? Are there things you'd rather keep private? That respect builds trust. And remind your kids to have these conversations with their friends too. I also think this is a good place to gently acknowledge something many parents feel uncomfortable talking about: the dating apps, messaging apps, and online connections. For LGBTQ teens especially, online spaces are often where identity exploration starts. Sometimes they're looking for friendship or community, people who they can connect with. Sometimes it's to flirt. Sometimes it's just out of curiosity. They have so many questions and don't know who else to ask. And sometimes they're just trying to find people who understand them. secrecy grows when shame grows. So instead of approaching these conversations with panic or punishment, try approaching them with openness and safety in mind. Perhaps even do your own homework ahead of time so you can be a guide if your team seems a little lost. Some important topics to discuss are talking about catfishing, reminding them not to share locations or personal information too quickly, discussing screenshots and digital permanence, helping them recognize manipulation or pressure, and reinforcing that they never, ever owe anyone photos, attention, affection, or access to their body. I'm going to say that again. It is vitally important to reinforce that they never, ever owe anyone photos, attention, affection, or access to their body. And if your child tells you something uncomfortable about an online interaction, try to regulate your first reaction. Because if fear becomes the dominant response, they will stop sharing with you. The thing that keeps kids safer long term is not surveillance. It's knowing that they can come to you no matter what without being shamed or punished. In terms of celebration ideas for teens, here's your checklist. Thrifted pride outfits, queer music playlists, pride picnics, volunteering, youth-centered pride events, creating signs, supporting LGBTQ-owned businesses, going to drag performances designed for younger audiences, or simply spending time with affirming friends. These can all become meaningful experiences. Not every teen wants a giant parade. Some just want to feel less alone. Now we're going to talk about our young adults. This is usually where parents have to do their own emotional work too, because support starts shifting from management to trust. And that transition can feel really uncomfortable. Of course, you still care deeply. You still worry. You still want them safe. But your role becomes less about directing and more about helping them strengthen their own instincts and decision-making. So here is a checklist to share with your young adult as a tool. Rideshare safety. Staying connected with trusted friends. Watching their open drinks in public spaces. This goes for all drinks, not just alcoholic ones. Knowing personal limits around alcohol or substances. Having backup transportation plans. Having emergency contacts programmed in their phone. Charging phones ahead of time and keeping a portable charger on them. Sharing locations with trusted people if desired. And knowing how to leave situations safely. And for young adults, I think we also need to acknowledge the reality of dating apps and hookup culture honestly and without moral panic, because many LGBTQ young adults use the apps not just for dating, but for connection, affirmation, exploration, and for community, especially if they live in areas where queer spaces are limited. So conversations become less about don't do this and more about how do you stay emotionally and physically safe while navigating it? Talk to them about things like meeting in public places first, telling trusted friends where you are, sharing location information when appropriate, recognizing coercion or manipulation, understanding consent clearly, noticing red flags, and paying attention to emotional safety too, not just physical safety. Sometimes what leaves the deepest impact isn't physical danger. It's feeling disposable or pressured or objectified or emotionally unsafe. And young adults deserve conversations that acknowledge all of those things. Not lectures, not shame, just grounded, honest support. I think this is a perfect place to acknowledge the emotional exhaustion of pride too, and creating a place or making time for decompression and rest after long weekends and celebrations. Pride can stir up a lot. Joy, grief, belonging, anger, relief, community, loneliness, visibility, especially for young adults who are newly out, estranged from family, recovering from shame, or finally finding affirming community for the first time. The most supportive thing a parent can say afterward is simply, "How are you feeling after everything this weekend?" Not, "Was it fun?" Not, "Did you behave responsibly?" Not, "So what happened?" Just, "How are you feeling?" That question creates room for connection and for your kid to take a long exhale. What could be better than that? I think one thing many parents quietly wrestle with is wanting to create a perfect pride experience for their child, especially if there were years of confusion or struggle beforehand. But kids usually don't remember all the orchestrated details. They remember how they felt. Did they feel pressured or judged, rushed, overprotected, celebrated and listened to, safe enough to be themselves? Those are the things that stay. And if you're listening to this and realizing, "I don't actually know what would feel good to my child," that's okay. You can ask. Asking, honestly, is often more powerful than getting everything exactly right. Support does not come from performing all the correct pride parenting moments. It comes from building relationships where your child feels emotionally considered. So maybe pride this year looks like downtown parades and rainbow glitter everywhere. Maybe it looks like friendship bracelets and cupcakes in your kitchen. Maybe it looks like hydration packs, portable chargers, and carefully planned meetup spots. Or maybe it just looks like one conversation where your child realizes, "My parent is trying to understand me, not control me." Thank you for being here. And thank you for continuing to show up for your children in ways that are thoughtful, grounded, and deeply human. New episodes of More Human, More Kind air every Tuesday and Friday, so make sure that you are subscribed and follow so you don't ever miss an episode. And if this episode helped you, send it to another parent who could use a little support navigating Pride season. For deeper connection and community, come join me in the Kindred Collective. The link to learn more is at the top of the show notes. Until next time, stay curious. Stay connected and keep becoming more human and more kind.